Now he's got a perfectly good excuse to go after your ass, old buddy. Fuchs started to reply, thought better of it, and said nothing. Turning to Wanamaker, Pancho asked, "What have you got for him?" "The only available armed vessel is a new attack ship, Halsey." Pancho nodded brusquely. "Okay, Lars, that's your new ship. Officially, you've hijacked it while it was sitting in lunar orbit waiting for a crew to be assigned to it." "You're giving it to me?" Fuchs asked, flabbergasted. "You're stealing it. We'll add it to your long list of crimes." His broad, normally downcast face broke into a bitter smile. "Pancho, I don't know what to say." She did not smile back at him. "Just get your butt up to the ship and get the hell out of here as fast as you can. Go back to the belt and hide out with the rock rats. Humphreys is going to come after you with everything he's got." Fuchs nodded, understanding. "I am only sorry that I didn't kill him. He deserves to die." "So do we all, old buddy," said Pancho. "Now get, before a platoon of HSS security goons comes boiling down the tunnel." Fuchs grasped her hand and, bending slightly, kissed it. Pancho's face turned red. "Go on. Get. There's going to be plenty hell to pay. I've got to get busy." Almost laughing, Fuchs turned and started trotting down the corridor that led to the waiting shuttlecraft. A thick-set, sturdy little badger of a man, clad in black, his short arms pumping as he ran. Wanamaker shook his head. "When Humphreys finds out you've helped him escape," Pancho grinned at him. "Hell, Jake, he got away from you. You're the one who sprang him out of the hospital. He got away from you and stole a brand new Astro spacecraft. I might have to dock your pay or something." Wanamaker broke into a craggy smile. "You are some piece of work, Ms. Lane. Really, some piece of work." "Come on," Pancho said, patting the plastic of the seat beside her. "I'll give you a ride back to town. We got a lot of work to do."
"What do you mean he's disappeared?" Humphreys demanded. Grigor stood before him like a dark wraith, his eyes downcast. With a shrug, he repeated, "Fuchs is gone." They were in the sitting room of Humphrey's suite in the Hotel Luna. Tatiana Oparin had discreetly remained in the bedroom when Grigor had arrived, before Humphrey's breakfast order had come from room service. "He can't be gone," Humphrey shouted, pounding the pillows on the sofa on which he sat.
Clad only in a silk hotel robe, Humphrey's thin, almost hairless legs reminded Grigor of a chicken's.
Standing before the sofa, to one side of the coffee table, Grigor reported. "He was under Cellini's custody last night in the hospital. This morning, when we went to interrogate him, he and his crew were gone." "Gone? How could he be gone? Where did he go? How could he get out?" "An Astro Corporation security detail removed him from the hospital shortly before 1 a.m., Grigor replied, his voice as flat and even as a computer's. "There is no trace of him after that." Leaping to his feet, so hard that his robe flapped open, Humphrey screamed, "Find him! Search every centimeter of the city and find him! Now! Use every man you've got!"
"Yes, sir."
"Don't stand there! Find him!" As Grigor turned toward the door, the phone chimed. Scowling, Humphrey saw that the wall screen displayed the name of the caller, Pancho Lane. "Phone answer," he snapped. Pancho's angular, light tan features took shape on the wall screen, slightly bigger than life.
"Martin, I have some unpleasant news for you."
He glared at her image as he pulled the maroon robe tightly around himself.
"Lars Fuchs somehow stole our newest ship and lit out of the lunar orbit a few hours ago. He's probably heading back to the belt."
"He stole one of your ships?" Humphreys asked, his voice dripping sarcasm.
"Yep," said Pancho. "Slipped away from a phony security detail that sprang him out of the hospital last night."
Humphreys' innards felt like a lake of molten lava. He had lots of help then, didn't he?
Keeping her face immobile, Pancho admitted, "Well, he's got some friends among my astro people, yeah. We're looking into it." "I'm sure you are." She almost smiled. "Just thought you'd want to know." "Thank you, Pancho." "In time, Mon." The screen went dark. Humphrey stepped to the small table at the end of the sofa, yanked up the lamp sitting atop it, and heaved it at the wall screen. It bounced off and thudded to the carpeted floor. "Guttersnipe, bitch. She helped him get away. Now he's running back to the belt to hide out with his rock rat friends." Grigor said, "We could intercept him." Humphreys glared at his security chief. "He'll be running silent. You'd have to search the whole region between here and the belt. There aren't enough ships." "You'll have to put in somewhere for supplies," said Grigor. "The chrysalis habitat at Ceres is the only place for that." Still glowering, Humphreys said, "They won't take him in. They exiled him years ago." Nodding slightly, Grigor countered, "Perhaps. But he will contact a ship in the region for supplies. Or capture one, the damn pirate. Either way, chrysalis is the key to his survival. If we control the habitat at Ceres, we will get him into our grasp, sooner or later." Humphrey stared at his security chief for a long, silent moment. Then he said, "All right. Tell our people at Vesta to send a force to Ceres and take control of chrysalis." An unhappy expression twisted Grigor's normally dour face. "We seem to have lost contact with Vesta," he said, the words coming out swiftly, all in a rush. "What?" "I'm sure it's only temporary." "Lost contact?" Humphrey's voice rose a notch. "It might be the solar storm," said Grigor, almost to himself, "although the cloud is well past the belt now." "Lost contact with the whole base?" Humphrey shouted. "The entire base?" "For more than 12 hours, Grigor admitted, almost in a whisper. Humphreys wanted to scream. And he did, so loudly and with such fevered anger that Tatiana Oparin rushed into the sitting room. When she failed to calm him down, she called the HSS medical department for Humphrey's personal physician.
Command ship Samarkand. Harbin hated these one-way messages. "I have to sit here like an obedient dog while my master speaks to me," he grumbled silently. Yet there was no other way. Grigor was at Selene, Harbin in his private compartment aboard Samarkand, so deep in the belt that it took Light the better part of an hour to span the distance between them. Grigor's face, in the display screen, looked even dourer than usual. "He's worried," Harbin thought. "Frightened." Completely wiped out Humphrey's home here in Selene, and killed 4 security guards, the security chief was saying, speaking rapidly, nervously. "They also killed Humphrey's personal assistant, the woman Farrar. The attack was led by Lars Fuchs." "Fuchs attacked Humphreys in his own home," Harbin marveled. He felt some admiration for such daring. "Strike your enemy as hard as you can. Strike at his heart." Grigor was droning on. "Astro has apparently spirited Fuchs away. Most likely he's on his way back to the belt. He must have friends at Ceres, allies who will give him supplies and more crewmen. Your orders are to find Fuchs and kill him. Nothing else matters now. Bring Fuchs's head to Mr. Humphreys. He will accept nothing less." Harbin nodded. "This isn't the first time that Humphreys has demanded Fuchs's life," he recalled. "But this will be the last time. The final time. Fuchs has frightened Humphreys. Up until now, Humphreys has fought this war in comfort and safety. But now Fuchs has threatened him, terrified him. Now he'll move heaven and earth to eliminate the threat that Fuchs represents. Now it's time for Fuchs to die." "Something else," Grigor added, his eyes shifting nervously. "The base on Vesta has gone silent. We don't know why. I've diverted one of our attack ships to the asteroid to see what's happened. You stay clear of Vesta. Head directly for Ceres and the habitat Chrysalis. Get Fuchs. Let me worry about Vesta." The security chief's morose face disappeared from Harbin's screen, leaving him alone in his compartment.